This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, all these guys are capable of really producing with the ball in their hand, and it also puts a lot of stress on the defense where, you know, we're looking at good looks, and that plays right into Ben's hands in terms of how he wants to attack each week.
I was Ryan Poles, as we know, and we go to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline to bring in our next guest on Rahimi and Harris, Dan Wiederer, in for Marshall Harris. It is our friend Mike Sando of The Athletic at work again, this time writing articles about what other executives think about other teams' drafts. Always nice to talk to Mike, especially after the quarterback tier story and the beast that just came out where they, again, upgraded that user interface online. So, Mike, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I can't take credit for the beast, but it does look pretty good on there, doesn't it?
Well, you know, I said that because we've had Dane on, of course, Dane Brugler. But after you and I talked about the graphic support, I think that went with the quarterback team story, I couldn't help but notice that they did the same thing with the beast.
Yeah, we have a good team, and it's really made progress in that area. I think a lot of our stuff looks better, and agreed, the beast was, that had to be a beast to do for such a big document.
Well, now we get to follow up with the draft, and I think it's a really cool concept, the idea of being able to talk to other executives, remaining anonymous about other teams' drafts. So naturally, we wanted to get your gauge on what was said about the Bears. What were your main takeaways?
Generally positive. You know, I think they can see it's a coach-driven draft at the top when you're taking two weapons like that. And maybe that's okay because your coach is the star of the show now, and he did such a great job in Detroit with the pieces he had. So there's probably a little bit of trust that, you know, people think highly of Ben Johnson and think that if he likes a couple guys here, that he's going to be able to get the use out of them. It was interesting before the draft, you know, some of the rankings had had Ty Warren, who ended up being drafted by the Colts at 14 as the top tight end. But the people that I talked to thought it was going to be Colston Loveland, who the Bears took, just because he's more dynamic as a receiver. So I think that was generally applauded. You know, they've thrown a lot at the receiver and tight end positions. So, you know, that's okay because they did address their offensive line quite a bit earlier this offseason. I'd say just generally, you know, generally pretty positive and understanding of what the Bears are doing.
Mike, the Loveland buzz has been louder and certainly more amplified after the draft than it was before the draft. What is your sense of what excites people around the league at what his potential is, obviously playing in an offense that should feature him?
Yeah, well, just the ability to get open, which isn't a given with tight ends. There's different types of tight ends. Some of them are, you know, better blockers. Some of them are, you know, well-rounded, pretty good at both blocking and receiving. But I think what's differentiating the guys at the top, usually, if you want to take one early, is their ability to separate and get open on their own. So people think he can do that. And that's, like I said, that differentiates him a little bit in the minds of some from the second tight end in the draft, Warren. So that's what it is, ability to, you know, to almost operate like a receiver from the tight end position.
I think it's also valuable when it comes to just the overall impression of, we've asked the question before, whose draft is this? And that was one where the pick was so indicative of the hallmarks of a Ben Johnson need. You know, what was your takeaway when it came to that part of this? Was not just the comments about Ben Johnson's needs specifically, but the overall draft.
Yeah, agreed. And I also think that it was a draft where, by the time the Bears were picking, it wasn't like there was a no-brainer person to pick. You kind of had your choice of a lot of different things, right? You could say in some other years, even last year, you know, it worked out a little similarly where, like, Joe Alt was this great tackle available, and he ended up not being available by the time the Bears picked, I think, at number 9. But, you know, if there's somebody like that, that's just a no-brainer. But if they were going to address, you know, people wanted them to get a running back, well, there isn't really one you're going to take there, you know, at 10. Offensive line, yeah, there were some kind of guard tackle types, but you did that in free agency. You didn't necessarily have to do that. So, you know, I did think it set up a little bit more easily to take a piece that the coach likes, as opposed to feeling like, oh my gosh, the number one corner's available, we have to get him. There weren't players like that in this draft at number 10.
Mike, on day two, they picked Luther Burden, and it's another weapon for Ben and Caleb to utilize. There was some sentiment initially that that's a luxury pick for this team, given where they're at. And then there's this post-draft buzz that best case scenario is Luther Burden becomes a Pro Bowl difference maker for your offense for a long time. What's your sense on kind of how he's viewed and kind of the pluses and minuses of making that pick where they made it?
Yeah. I think you could find many mock drafts before the draft that had him going a lot earlier, going in the first round. So I think people are understanding of the value looks like you're getting in the second round, and think that, you know, it could be a little bit of a luxury because you've got other receivers. Now, they have different skill sets, so I'm not saying he's the same as all the other receivers, but, you know, if you want the ball in somebody's hands, you could say DJ Moore could, you know, do some things after the catch as well. So I think that's a fair point to bring up. You know, you could call it a criticism that, you know, maybe it was a bit of a luxury pick. I think it was interesting that, you know, the pick before that the Patriots took Travion Henderson, the running back. I think that's interesting. I probably could have got into that in the analysis, probably should have. But I thought what was interesting about that is that Henderson is seen as a pass protection piece, not just a runner. Really could help your pass protection. He's a great, willing pass blocker. So, you know, if both those players were available at that pick, you'd probably lean towards Henderson, right?
No doubt. And I think, there was a push to try to make that happen. And then they had to, I don't want to say settle, but, you know, pivot, I guess is a better way to put it.
Well, and we've been trying, Mike, to figure out what the Bears' counterpunch was after that, because then they go another 6 rounds before they get a running back. You know, they go to the 7th round. So that's been a discussion that we've been having, is just the thought on if that was truly a position of need versus them talking a lot about their board.
Yeah. That's a fair point. I mean, certainly they could have taken one earlier, but, you know, as sometimes there's, you really only like certain players, right? So there could be other backs that they would have been fine with, but it just didn't feel like it was adding what they wanted to add at the expense of something else they could have gotten later in the draft. Like, you know, I think people liked they took an offensive lineman at 56. People like that pick. You know, maybe if you're going to do luxury with Burden, you come back with meat and potatoes with offensive line, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, and then we're like, okay, now we're 3 picks into this thing. We haven't taken anyone on defense. So, okay, let's get this defensive tackle, Turner, right?
Yep.
And so you can kind of see how that goes. And now, we don't like these packs that are here in this next range the same. That's how that happens.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
but not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I think also when it came to just the executive opinion, you know, that was addressed in some of these quotes. Like, for example, when they're talking about, well, that's a lot of resources at the tight end position, that there is some acknowledgement of either perhaps some overlapping positional possible redundancy or an understanding of the availability of what was there at the draft that they wanted.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And when I look at where they were, so remember I said, like at 132, they took the linebacker. Well, at that point, you know, a running back had come off five picks before. Another one had come up, two others had come off a couple before that. Scadaboo had come off. A lot of people liked him, special teams guys. So, you know, that's the board falls how it falls. And if you want to make a maneuver and move up to get a guy, you're going to pay for that. And it may just not have seemed worth it to them. And I think you have to trust Ben Johnson a little bit in terms of what he has on offense, what he thinks he needs, and he got what he wanted. Oh, clearly, they didn't pass on a running back when he wanted to have one. I would almost guarantee that.
Mike, two-part question here. You had quoted an executive in your piece about Ozzie Trapillo saying that he could be the sleeper of this class for the Bears. I'm curious what kind of buzz you heard about what makes him that. And then on a bigger picture sort of look, when you draft a tackle in a top 60 of a draft, what have to be the realistic expectations for what he is going to be for you, for your football team for the long haul?
I think that high, you're hoping to get a starter. It may not be a starter right away, but I think you'd really like to get a starter out of that second pick, and maybe he starts, you know, maybe it's the second year or whatever. But, you know, I think he played a lot of right tackle in Bill O'Brien's offense there at Boston College. So, you know, I believe the Bears have Darnell Wright there, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
And so we'll see what the future is for him, you know, and where he's going to go. But that could be, you know, this could be a swing tackle, somebody for you. This could be, you know, an eventual starter at right tackle, depending what you think is going to happen with, you know, with Wright in terms of either changing positions or where he fits into their future on an extension, those sorts of things. You can't have enough of those guys at that position. And so if you like a guy, you take him and you work him into the mix.
Mike, I know that you've mentioned the Bears is getting high marks from this random executive pool that you talked to. But what was another team in the NFC that stood out to people as far as how they performed in the draft?
People loved the Rams getting a first-round pick next year. Sometimes those first-round picks seem really great, don't they, until you have to actually use them. But the idea of doing that when you need... you may need a quarterback next year. I think a lot of people like that. People didn't like the other side of it with Atlanta giving that away, even though they liked some of their players. You know, let's see. I scroll through some of these teams. I think people liked... you know, you could kind of... the Giants. I think the Giants were another one as I go through this, just because the market sort of proved they were correct in not taking a quarterback at two. There was sort of debate of like how early do they need to take a quarterback? They took Abdul Carter instead of kind of panicking and taking, you know, Shedeur Sanders or Jackson Dart or somebody they liked at three because they felt like they needed to have a quarterback. So I think that was decent, good process. And then, you know, I don't know if Jackson Dart's going to be any good, but you know, at least addressed that position, got the you know, got the next quarterback and somebody they obviously liked. So, and then Cam Scadaboo also was seen as an interesting pick in the fourth round, running back who could kind of almost affect your culture just by the way he plays on special teams and the energy he brings. I think that was a pick that I talked to more than one executive who was like trying, you know, hoping that their team would have taken him.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I think he was on the radar here as well. Layla mentioned earlier your QB tiers piece, and that's one of those annual summer Christmas morning pieces. Yeah. where you're pretty excited for it to come out. I'd imagine that even though that doesn't launch until August, you're well on your way to compiling some of this, correct?
You really can't start till after the draft because that's when you know who's starting in the different places, right?
Okay.
So you can't. We had to see who's going to draft quarterbacks, where's Russell Wilson going to land, all those types of things. So then get going, you know, a little bit here soon.
Aaron Rodgers also on that list. I'm just curious, what do you expect you might hear that be the first year that Caleb Williams will be folded into that? Because obviously rookies aren't eligible for it. But what do you expect to hear? What are some of your early takes on where Caleb is right now?
Yeah, probably some criticism of his first year playing and taking too many sacks, you know, and just probably not being as good as people thought he was going to be. You could say what you want about the situation around him. And then I think there'll be talk about what Ben Johnson can do with him and how Ben Johnson is, you know, I think Ben Johnson's a little bit of an old school coach. I think he coaches people hard and holds them accountable. So I think that'll be an interesting situation for Caleb Williams there in Chicago.
Mike, I do remember talking to you about Lamar Jackson pretty intently after the last one came out. Does anything change after this past season? Because I thought he was a tier lower.
So. Yeah, well, he was right on the edge of tier one and tier two. So, you know, I would imagine that he would bump into tier one. I would think so after last year, yeah.
I was curious about that. Not that I need to scoreboard anybody. Goodness knows I've been wrong on a million things. But I did wonder if his past season would put him back in that top tier.
Well, he has never been there before in tier one. He's always been close. But, you know, I think the way he's not so much this year or even last, but, you know, the way that it hasn't translated to the postseason and you know, has kept him sort of, and concerns about his passing in the past, you know, kept him a little bit lower. But he really moved right to the edge of it this last year. And so I'm going to look at it. I was going to look at it now. It's not popping up, but just he was close. He had a lot of tier one votes. So I would think that enough of those would swing over. He'll be in tier one with probably Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, and we'll see who else.
Mike, we look forward to it. And until then, we get to check out not only your story about executives talking about the draft, but I know one was just released, executives talking about free agency as well. So we will look forward to those. And thanks for joining us here on Raheemy and Harris on The Score.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Nice to talk to Mike Sando always, especially when there is that embarrassment of riches resource-wise there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like that's something you look forward to too, the quarterback tiers.
Oh yeah, because it's so informed, right? Like that's the best part of it is it's not Mike's rankings, right? Like Mike reaches out all over the league and gets such a wide array of opinions that help you crystallize how the entire league views all of these quarterbacks, and it's fascinating to see how it stacks up every year.
Well, and I thought that it was compelling that the Giants got such high marks for their draft after everything that happened.
Sure.
We're still trying to figure out. Right now, they still have four quarterbacks in the room, right? They haven't made a move on DeVito yet, have they?
No.
Your guy.
ILL.
I, right?
See, I got you to do it. There you go.
I like the Illini.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.